back at camp meeting. I appreciate how God is blessed that we might have the opportunity to be back. It's good to see all of you here. You're glad you're saved. Say amen.
Amen.
Glad to be under the tabernacle.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord for his goodness. And let me go ahead and say this. I appreciate all the labor and all the work and all the love that it takes to bring all this together. This don't just happen. I appreciate those that spread the shavings and those that have cleaned the buildings and those that have cleaned the bathrooms and all of the preparation that has gone into this. I thank God for that. I appreciate the work that folks do that we might have the opportunity to come here and enjoy the blessings of God and to hear from heaven. I appreciate the good preaching and the wonderful singing that's been done this morning. It's been a blessing already just to be here. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I want to just testify for a little bit about a song in your heart.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arisest from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." You may be seated as we look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and I thank you for your good attention. Father, we ask you now that the unction of the Holy One, the Holy Ghost, might help us today. I realize, Lord, that within my own ability, my own intellect, I can't do what needs to be done. Oh, how I'm glad I serve a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And so I ask you now, Father, for the help that we might need to rightly divide your word, testify, preach that, oh God, that needs to be said here today. And I ask you to apply it to hearts and lives for your honor, for your glory. If there's one person here today, Lord, that knows not Jesus and the free pardon of sin, they don't have a song that they can sing and make melody in their heart to the Lord, I pray, God, you would touch them and draw them to Jesus and help them to see that he's the only one that can do for them what needs to be done. And I pray, God, your will be done. Touch the sick, the afflicted, and all those that have asked would remember them in prayer. I pray for a special touch, oh God, for them that are about to cross over to the other side. Be there in power. Be there in person, Lord, and help them, we pray, and help the family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 15, verse 1, the Bible said, "Then sang Moses, the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." There on the banks, children of Israel, Moses and Miriam and those had the opportunity to sing in their heart to the Lord. Because he had delivered them from Pharaoh, he had delivered them from Egypt, he had delivered them from the bondage that they were under. They had a song they could sing unto the Lord because of the gladness of the deliverance he had made in their lives. We as the children of God today ought to be able to sing unto the Lord from our heart, whether you can carry a tune or not. We ought to be able to sing in our heart unto the Lord because we've been given the opportunity of praising him for his goodness, for his mercy, for his grace. I'm glad this morning the grace of God is still sufficient. I'm glad the mercies of God today are fresh every morning. And I'm glad that he is able to do for us today if we'll just trust him and sing in our heart unto him. He is able to do for us what needs to be done in our life. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible said, "Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." God's been good to me.
Amen.
That's two of us. God's been good. Some of you still not here. God's been good. Amen. Amen. How do you know He's been good? Because you're not in hell where you deserve to be. But you're on your way to glory, and you got something you can shout about, and something you can rejoice in, and something that lifts you up. Because of the goodness of God and His grace and His mercy. In Psalms chapter 18, verse 49, the Bible says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord among the heathen and sing praises unto thy name." Again in Psalm 30, verse 4, the Bible said, "Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Psalm 47, 6 says, "Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding." Psalm 57, verse 1, the Bible said, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." And in Psalm 42, 1, the Bible said, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." We know that the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, had a song down in his heart. The Bible tells us in Psalm 104, verse 33, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live." Why? "I will sing my praise to my God while I have my being." Why? Where did this song come from? Well, the psalmist of Israel, David, in Psalm 40, tells you where it came from. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me." I don't know about you, but it thrills me every time I think about the God of heaven to hear what I have to say. That He's interested in what's on my mind, what's on my heart. I'm glad I remember the first time that I ever remember Him talking to me and hearing my prayer. Amen. "He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and He hath put a song in my mouth." Glory to God. "Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." The psalmist David said, "I want you to know there's something real about this thing. It's not something on my mind. It's not just something in my mouth, but it comes from the innermost part of my being. God has done something in me. He heard my cry. He did something for me nobody else could do. He lifted me up out of that pit. He established my goings. He put a song down in my heart, and it gave me reason to praise God for what He's done in my life. Every day that I live, I ought to be able to sing a song of praise coming from my heart because of what God has done for me. I'm eternally saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got a little heaven to go to heaven in. I ought to be excited about it, thrilled about it, and willing to share my song with the world." David had this song. He told us about where he got it. When he was down on his knees a-praying, and God did a wonderful work for him and lifted him up and established it for him and put those words in his heart and in his mouth that he could sing and make melody unto the Lord. I believe David had that song on through his life. Even though he had a life that was filled with turmoil and trouble and battles and all kinds of things that happened and circumstances that he had no control over, yet I believe David had a song on through his life. The Bible said that in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David had spent a while fasting and praying that God would be gracious and God would hear his cry and that his child that was sick would recover and that he would get better. But that didn't happen. He'd been laying on the ground, not eating, and his servants were whispering and not knowing what to do. And the child had died. David had been in such a shape that he had been laying on the ground in sackcloth and ashes, and he wouldn't eat anything, and he was fasting and praying and asking God to be merciful that that child might live. But the child died. And those attendants were actually afraid, I believe, to come and tell David. He was in such a shape already. What was he going to do now? But they were standing out in the hallway talking about it when David heard a little bit about what they were saying and saw their countenance. And he looked at them and he said, "Is the child dead?" They said,
Yes, King, the child is dead. He did something very strange to them. He got up. He lifted himself up. And he left. And he went back to the house to change his clothes. He put upon clean raiment. He took a bath. And he went to the house of God to worship.
Amen.
They said, David, we don't understand this. For a week now you've been laying in sackcloth and ashes, and for a week you haven't eaten anything, and you've been tormented over this child, and now that the child is dead, you've cleaned yourself up and you've gone to the house of... We don't understand this. A verse came up in his song, and he said, I can't call him back, but I can go to where he is. I can't call him back, but thanks be unto God, I can sing my song, because I know together we're going to praise God. We're going to be together praising the Lord. I can go to where he is. When our loved ones leave us and they're taken away from us, it's not time to give up and quit. It's not time to pout. It's not time to turn our back on God. But it's time to lift up our voice and to sing unto God and give him glory for the fact they've been promoted home to glory, and we can go to be where they are. I'll be honest with you, thinking about coming to camp meeting, I'm a little bit disappointed that Jesus hadn't come already. Amen. I'm a little bit disappointed that we actually get to come here when we could be where he is.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The best thing that I can think about is leaving here and going to be where he is. Absent from this body, present with the Lord, has to be better than it's ever been here. I'm glad I've got a song that I can sing, because my road has been established. My walk has been made secure in him. Now, I appreciate how good he's been to me. There's going to be sorrows. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be heartaches. But if the song is real down in your heart, if you're looking beyond this veil, if you're looking beyond instead of its circumstances, then you can lift up your voice and sing unto the Lord. H.P. Spafford was a businessman in Chicago. And he was one of D.L. Moody's greatest supporters. Mr. Moody had gone over to England to run a campaign over there, and the plan was that H.P. Spafford and all his girls and his wife were going. They would be a part of it, and they would support it, and they would take part in it in England. Well, just about the time they were getting ready to get on board ship to leave, the Great Chicago Fire happened. And Mr. Spafford had many businesses that were influenced by the Chicago Fire. And he couldn't just up and leave at that moment. But he told his wife, said, take our four daughters, you get on the ship and you go on over and you get started helping them. And as soon as I can get business ends tied up, I'll come and join you. It wasn't but a few days, just a short time until he got word that the ship that his wife and four daughters were on had sunk. He got a telegram back from England from his wife that said, saved alone. On those words, he recognized the fact that his four daughters had died and had drowned when that ship had gone down. The mama was the only one that had been saved. H.P. Spafford got on a ship, headed out as soon as he could to go and join with her. Part of the way out into the ocean, he had gave notice to the captain and to the boys that were on board ship, said, don't know if you can pinpoint the spot or not, but I'd love it if, when we get close to where that ship went down, if you'd just allow me the privilege of standing out on the deck and looking over the waters where my daughters are buried in that liquid grave. They sent him word. They said, Mr. Spafford, as best as we can tell, we're very close to the spot that the ship went down. Standing on board that ship, looking out over the water, words began to come to him. that came into his heart and into his mind because of the song that was down in his soul. And he said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, what thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. If the song is in tune, if you're right with God, if he's put a song down in your heart, you can make that melody unto the Lord, no matter what the circumstances may be. It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can sing unto the Lord. When you know that you know that you know that you're saved by the grace of God, that you've been born again, that you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord, when you know that old things have passed away and all things became new, you can do kind of like the choir did yesterday morning. You can say, I'm saved and I know I am. I'm saved and I know I am. I'm saved and I know I am. I'm so glad I know that I am. How many of you know you're saved today? How many of you know beyond doubt that you're saved today? Glory to God. You can sing unto him whether you can carry a tune or not. The melody in your heart says, I know, I know, I know that I'm saved by the grace of God. You can have this song and not even know the words to it. And you can have this song and not be able to carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it. I remember years ago when I was just a boy, old time revivals would come in the summertime, and every church around there, everybody joined in with them and go and visit and have a good time in revival services. Revival was going on at Old Sharp Top Church, and it had been going on for several days. We who were not members there would go and visit because God was there and things were happening. People are being saved and lives is being changed. I remember this one year in particular, we went over and there was this man that had married into a family that was faithful to the church, and they was going to a revival meeting. He didn't want to go. He hadn't been to church two or three times in his whole life, but he was a-going because he is now a member of the family, and he wanted to keep peace in the family. He wanted everybody to be in accord with him. He went to church. Revival was a-going on. Preaching was a-going on. Singing was a-going on. Shouting was a-going on. People was coming to the altar and getting saved. He'd get up and he'd go stomping out the back of the church saying, this is a bunch of foolishness. This is just a bunch of foolishness. These folks up here acting like fools. He'd walk on outside. What was going on, though, was the Holy Ghost was working on his heart. These folks had something they could sing about, and he didn't. And he wanted to throw off on it the best way he could. He'd go outside, this is a bunch of foolishness. But he came back the next night. He'd stomp back outside and say, this is a bunch of foolishness. There ain't nothing going on in there. They're just having themselves a big spell. But after about 3 or 4 days of that, preacher got up and preached and gave invitation. He come a-running, not walking. He come running down the aisle, fell on his face and slid in that altar and began to beg God for a song to be put in his heart. He began to beg, oh, Jesus, I know you're the Savior and I'm a sinner and I need you to save me and change my life. Do something for me, Lord. Save me. It wasn't long that he got up and he started walking back and forth like this, stapping his hands. Now, he hadn't been to church but 2 or 3 times in his whole life. And now he's walking back and forth across the altar, stomping his feet and clapping his hands. And everybody's sitting around him, they're laughing and they're crying at the same time. Something's happened to him, and he's different now. He's got a different countenance on his face. It's not foolishness to him anymore because now something's different with inside of him. He's walking back and forth, and he's clapping his hands, and he said, folks, you're just going to have to give me a minute. I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know what's took place in my life, but I know there's something changed in me, and something's gone on in my heart and in my life right now, and I think we ought to just holler 3 cheers for Jesus. Hallelujah wasn't a part of his vocabulary. Glory to God, didn't know anything about his voice. But 3 cheers for Jesus because he had been saved and a melody had come in his heart that he could sing unto the Lord. You can have this song, not even know the words to it. Amen. I was preaching down in South Carolina, and I made the statement that 100 years from now, nobody remember what you used to be, how you used to live. When you get to glory, nobody remember anything about that. There's a lady over on this side, about halfway back, stood up and raised both hands, tears streaming down her face. She lifted up her hands and said, "Hot diggity dog." At that moment, I was kind of taken back. I'd never heard "hot diggity dog" in church before. So the preacher jumped up and run to my aid. He came up and he said, I need to clarify something our sister said over here. She's only been saved about 3 months. Hallelujah's not a part of her vocabulary yet. Glory to God just hadn't made its way into her way of thinking. And she just had to say something good about what's happened to her. She's not who she used to be. She's got a song she can sing and make melody unto the Lord. She didn't know the words to it, but hot diggity dog anyway. John Newton was a slave trader, became a merchant marine, despicable, ungodly, wicked man. In his journeys as a merchant marine, he is on board ship. One night in the midst of a storm, he was walking and doing his part. And as that storm was raging, all at once a big wave picked him up and took him off into the water. There'd been some fellas that had been witnessing to him, talking to him, and trying to tell him about the Lord. May have even been some of the prisoners that he had brought on board. Some of those that had trying to take care of him and trying to be good to him, trying to tell him about Jesus. The wave took him off into the ocean, and he thought, sure, during this storm, ain't nobody going to find me. They don't. Nobody even know I'm out here. Nobody knows where I am. I'm done for. I'm dead. But that same wave that took him off the ship picked him up and put him back on it. This time he got down on his hands and knees and he crawled over and went down into the lower part of the ship. And when he got down there, he got to those fellas that had been talking to him about the Lord. And he said, "Would you tell me again? Would you tell me again? Would you tell me his name one more time? Would you tell me that he'll save me? Would you tell me again about the plan of salvation that includes me?" Amen. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's not my opinion. That's the word of God. They talked to him about the Lord and they led him in Christ and he got saved. And after a little while, God called him to preach and pastor the church. And he sat down one day with pen in hand and wrote down, "Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." The song is real when you get it from the Lord. Amen. Don't even try to sing me a song that you wrote. Hello? Now, most of you know I've been singing all my life. Matter of fact, I don't remember a time when I didn't sing. I sang with the Inspirations Quartet for 41 years. And I've sung all over the world. Now, I'm not bragging about myself. That's just what God had for me. That was the will of God for my life at that time. Traveling all over and singing and telling folks about Jesus in song. I don't remember a time when I didn't sing, but I do remember a time when he made the song real. July 22nd, 1964, on a Wednesday morning in an old-fashioned altar, the song was placed down in my heart. A melody came up unlike any I've ever met before. It became real to my soul. I recognized who it was that I was singing about and how good it was to be saved by the grace of God. The song is real when it comes from the Lord. This song is real, it's powerful, it's precious. It's powerful and it's precious when it comes from God. Paul and Silas were preaching. Revival was going on in the streets. A witch had got delivered from the demon that was in her, and she'd got saved. And it made those that owned her and gained from monetarily from her abilities mad. So they rounded up Paul and Silas and they beat them until the blood was literally running down their backs. They took them and threw them into the inner prison down there where there ain't nobody but rats. Down in the water and the rats, and they chained them to the wall. But the Bible said about midnight, down there in the darkness, where it seemed like nobody cared, hurting and bruised and battered, Paul and Silas began to sing a song unto the Lord and to praise Him for the opportunity of suffering for Jesus' sake. And the Bible said that them two old preacher boys, whether they could sing very much or not, began to sing from their heart a melody unto the Lord. And God enjoyed it so much that He bent His ear down real low to the ground. He got down so low that the ground began to shake and the earth began to quake. And the doors fell off the hinges and the chains fell off of them. And they were all set free and they come and they stood outside. And here come the jailer a-running and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He heard their song. And that night he asked God for a song for himself. And he got a song and his whole household got a song. And they were baptized that night. Amen. Now, I've never seen a piece of music that had Paul and Silas' name on it. I don't know what their song might have been. But down there in that inner prison, suffering and bleeding and hurting so bad, it might have sounded something like this. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. My life is worth the living just because He lives. This song will manifest itself when you don't know what you're going to do. When trouble comes. When sickness comes. When finances are seemingly, there's no hope. When death comes to a loved one, these songs, if they're real, they'll manifest themselves to you. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I'll tell you this and I'll close. One of my spiritual heroes, well, both of my grandmothers were spiritual heroes to me. But one of them in particular, my dad's mom, you couldn't talk to her 5 minutes but what she'd tell you something good the Lord had done. She was just absolutely saturated with the mercy, the grace, and the goodness of God. She read her Bible 2-3 hours a day in her latter years. They called me and told me that Mama, as we called her, had had a heart attack, and she was in ICU in the hospital. She was 91 years old. And they said, if you want to see Mama again before she checks out, you need to come on down to the hospital. So we went in the car and drove down to the hospital and got down there. Those days in ICU especially, why, you only got in 5 minutes out of every hour and you had to wait on somebody else to take their turn. When it finally became my turn, I went in to see her. I walked over beside the bed and she was already to the point that she was in and out and in and out and in and out. I walked over and I just took her by the hand. And I said, Mama, I love you. And I appreciate the fact of the life that you've lived in front of me. I didn't think she could hear me. But all at once, she opened up her eyes. And she looked straight at me and she said, well, son, what in the world are you a-doing here? I said, well, Mama, I heard you had a little problem with your heart, but I came down here to see how you was treating the doctors. She grinned. She squeezed my hand and she said, son, I love you. I said, yes, ma'am. You've always proven that. She said, I want you to know I've prayed for you every day. I said, yes, ma'am. I can tell. I can feel your prayers because I know you get a hold of God. My time was soon running out. Later on that night, nurse came out to the lobby and she said, we can't find the blood pressure. Her heart is still very faintly beating, but we can't even find the blood pressure. My aunt looked at her and said, well, what does that mean? She said, it won't be long now. I looked at that nurse and I said, ma'am, I need to be in that room. She said, oh, no, I'm sorry. That's against hospital policy. We can't allow that this far along. We just can't allow that. My cousin stood up and took me by the hand and looked at that nurse and said, it'll be all right. I'm going to go with him. She said, yes, ma'am. You see, my cousin was the assistant administrator of the hospital. It's always good to have friends in high places. So she went with me. We went into ICU. One of us stood on one side and I stood on the other. And we stood there and talked for a few minutes, hoping to see the move or the flicker of a wing somewhere. Because I knew that very soon there was going to be an entourage from glory that was going to come by and was going to take her on and escort her right into the presence of God. I didn't see anything, but you could just reach out and get an armful of God anywhere in that room. The presence of God was great in there. And I looked at her and my heart was a-breaking because my hero was leaving me. My prayer warrior was leaving me. One that was precious and dear to my heart was leaving me. As she took her last breath on this side, she couldn't tell us bye. Because I knew at that moment, when she took her last breath, the next thing she was going to do is be saying hello. My heart was breaking, but all I could think of was, I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside, and we'll sit down by the river and with rapture old acquaintance renew. You'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear when I meet you in the morning in that city that is built four square. It'll happen if your song is real, if it comes from the Lord. But right now, if you're sitting there and you don't know that you've got a real song from the Lord or not, you're in trouble. You can get that known. These things are written that you may know. It's not a hope so, think so, maybe it'll work out kind of deal. The song is real when it comes from the Lord. Have you got a song today? God bless you.